Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. A little over a year ago, I traveled to South America, and on a part of my trip was in Argentina. And Argentina has always had a kind of interesting history for me. I first went there, I don't know when, many, many years ago. And there's an Argentine folk singer named Mercedes Sosa that I really loved. And the first night I was in Buenos Aires, I got to spontaneously see her in concert, which was the beginning of my sort of love affair with Argentina. And I've had my ups and downs with this country, as I think most everybody has it with all countries. But one of the things that is so remarkable is the way that Reiki really took hold in Argentina at a time when the political situation was very up and down. And, of course, they've had a couple of devaluations of their monetary system in the last 20 years. And you know, lots and lots of things have happened, but through this, I feel Reiki has really been able to give those people who have been in touch with Reiki some comfort, some strength of their own character, and some trust that things would be working out. And so Miguel's story last week really cut through that whole scene, and I look forward to hearing Gisela's story this week. So here is Gisela Ventana. She was the interpreter for last week, and now she gets to speak in English. So welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the invitation, Phyllis.
You're welcome. And of course, I'd love to hear your Reiki story. How did you first hear about Reiki?
Fine. Well, this was about 17 years ago, way back in 1996, when I first heard the word Reiki, which was really a very weird word here in our community.
Of course.
I had never heard it before, but somehow there was some power in that word, and I felt that I had to be on the alert somehow. And the next time I heard it, it was from a friend, an acquaintance, who told me that she had received a Reiki treatment and that it had made a world of a difference to her. Wow. And knowing her to be so stiff and rigid and structured, I said, wow, there must be something behind this. And so I kept being on the alert somehow. And in a few months, I came in contact with the word again from the mother of my daughter was, well, going to school, and the mother of a classmate of my daughter's mentioned the word again. And she said, well, you know what? I took a Reiki course, and I have Reiki in my hands. And I was totally amazed, because I had the idea, this idea that Reiki was, the possibility of channeling this energy was like a special gift that you were born with.
Right.
How could she, a common human being, be able to do that? So she explained that, well, she had received this from a very nice master, she said, and she gave me a leaflet with some information. And on the cover of that leaflet, I read the Reiki principles. And somehow they touched my heart. I felt that any discipline or treatment or whatever that had those principles as a guide had to be marvelous. So helped me to decide that I wanted to explore that. Wow. And well, this woman put me in contact with the person who was going to be my master all through my practice, Miguel Sotés, and he became my master, my friend, my soul brother in this path, and who somehow determined the beginning of a new life to me. Coming in contact, I came to the place where Miguel was having his practice, and I was I knew that I wanted to have Reiki in my hands, whatever it was. Just for you to know, I had always been a very rational person, conventional. I never took unusual paths in my life, always abiding by what was right to do, and never explored something behind that. So for me, it was like a big step, to explore something like this. And well, I went with my husband because at that moment I felt that he was very tense and very stressed, and I thought, well, maybe this could be good for him. So we went to Miguel's Reiki center together with my husband, and we took the sessions. But before I took the sessions, I knew I wanted to have the initiation. I wanted to have this energy in my hands. I thought how wonderful this would be to share with my daughters, to just to touch them or to put my hands on them and help them to feel better. So, well, that's what we did. My husband and me, we took the course. And the moment I was initiated, I felt very clearly that I was being born again. Wow. It was that feeling. For me, it was a turn of the bolt completely. I know that not all processes are the same. Some take some time but in my case, it was difficult to understand. I was totally amazed at what unclosed behind this. I was at that moment I felt blessed somehow that I had come to this master, because everything was so simple and with so much respect and simplicity at the same time. It was like a big step, but so natural. So I felt this as a blessing, really. He understood everything that I was going through very simply. And the other blessing was that I was able to be initiated with my husband, who somehow was another human being who I could share this with.
Right.
Because at that time in our community, it was really something very weird. I didn't even know how to put it into words, how to say, what is it that I have done? I remember telling my mother that I had taken some kind of course like yoga, I told her. And I think it took me about 2 months to be able to put into words the experience I had gone through. I think that when I said that it was like being born again, I wanted to say that it was not that Reiki changed me, but rather that helped me to recover who I was, to reconnect me with my deep inner soul, or the real Gisela that I was.
Yeah.
because I suddenly got in contact with my real needs, notwithstanding what the other people were expecting from me, because I had always lived being somehow worried about how to please other people and what other people would say and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the biggest gifts I got from this practice was to value and respect and accept who I really was. And just to show it simply and naturally. And that gave me a lot of freedom. Freedom is another word connected with my practice. I felt that ever since I started this path, and it never went away.
Uh-huh. Great.
And it was a kind of novelty for me. That's why I whenever I try to tell my story, I feel that I would need so many days to go through every aspect that every magic door that opened from that instant. But well, basically, I just devoted myself to the practice from the very moment I had this blessing with my master Miguel, that he had he gave his students a lot of opportunities for being in contact with him and sharing different aspects of our practice. So I took advantage of every single space that was available for me in his Reiki center, and I practiced a lot with myself. And in a short time, I started to feel rather soon that that this was my path. It was my spiritual path. It was what I wanted to do all the time of my life.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And the time came when I felt this call, strong call to be a master, to be able to be a bridge for other people to get to this and to get to this bliss. At that moment, I'm a teacher of English. That is my job. And something I didn't mention is that Reiki also moved my professional world. I became a totally different teacher. In my interaction, my contact with my students changed completely, and I started to enjoy my job.
Wow.
I found a different role. I realized that my role as a teacher was far more than just teaching English and giving them the skills or helping them with the skills. That it was a human experience that we were sharing together and growing together.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it usually happens in life that after that there are cycles in your profession.
Uh-huh, right.
So a cycle certainly comes to an end, and you start feeling that you need some new fresh air.
Right.
You get tired. And, well, Reiki was that fresh air for my profession. And I started to make changes, some of them dramatic, very radical. I gave up a job I had at the university, for example. I reorganized I started to give space in my profession for my Reiki practice, because I wanted to be a master, and I wanted to have the energy and time and everything that was going to be required for me in this step. In 2000, in the year 2000, with the beginning of the millennium, I was initiated as a master after a year and a half of training. My training as a master, I have to say, was total happiness every single day of my life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have told my master this many times, he knows this, but really, it was like, I don't know, you know, touching the sky with your hands. I think that I had this feeling that I was getting close to that thing that my soul was longing to do in this in this planet, in this dimension, in the third dimension. When you get to, I don't know, mission, I would call it, I don't know, but I was having this feeling inside.
Right.
And, when I was initiated in the year 2000 as a master, my master Miguel, was somehow giving form to this idea of a Reiki community with an institutional thing, which became the Reiki Association, Integrity Reiki Association, which also gave a very special turning to my practice as a master, because the possibility of doing my practice as a master in the midst of a community was so rich, so full of learning all the time, that I felt again twice blessed.
Mm-hmm.
That the two things happened together. For some reason, at that time, I remember my master said to me, "Well, Gisela, now that you are going to become a master, your energy has to be in your practice. So you shouldn't worry so much about this association. We are going to do the work. You take your time. You take a break." But it never happened, so really, it was impossible to put me aside. I felt in my heart that it was something that we had to share and we had to hold strongly, and that it was going to be something important for the community in our hometown, and it was so. After 13 years, I can say that the space that was built and kept and held lovingly by Miguel and all the group of people who accompanied this has created an alternative of spiritual growing, personal growing, for quite a lot of people, and it still does. That's mainly my story. As I said before, I could talk for hours about the magic somehow process that took place when I started practicing Reiki. But everything I went through, I think, in my personal process was also very rich in what somehow reflects in my work as a teacher, I think, as a Reiki master, I mean. Because I feel that it's not something that I transfer from books, from word of somebody else, but it's so personal. I mean, what I lived, what I went through, what I moved inside myself, that it is somehow like the living proof, you would say, of what a process with Reiki could be like. And well, then something else I would like to know, I would like to say is that, when, that I had also had this gift of, always feeling trust. I was never hesitant, in if this could be so, if, this could be right or wrong, if I would be doing this okay or not. In a way, I was given this trust by my master, who always had this trust in me, and mostly Reiki all the time, every moment reinforced this trust. And what I am grateful is that I was able to see it, because I know that very often the process is going on, but for some reason we are not able to enjoy it. There is something that perhaps we can't see at the time. This is more or less my story. And something else I would like to say is that Reiki also gave way to other explorations in my life. I think other paths to explore, like music and working with sound. I eventually became a sound therapist, also working with education. I still do, from a different point of view or from a different place. But, and other disciplines perhaps that I explore, but all through the different paths, I again and again felt that the main support platform, whatever, was Reiki and my practice. It's at the basis of whatever other things I have enjoyed, come to discover.
Right. Well, thank you so much for your story. That's wonderful. You know, a lot of people have stories of a lot of change, a lot of upheaval in their lives, but not easy ones. So it's lovely to have a story where things were just joyful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, very sweet. Yeah.
I am aware of that. I try to be grateful every day for that, because I know I've been in contact with so many people, and I know different stories and all that. So I try to be grateful for that.
Great. So now, do you spend time in the community, treating people in the clinic that we were speaking about before, or?
Yeah. This is a kind, I wouldn't call it a clinic, or well, I don't know the connotation it has for you, but it's like a Reiki center, we call it. But, I come here every day, and I have the opportunity of doing a very active, let's say, practice with the people who come to be to get a right. treatment session.
Well,
and I also and it's also the place where we meet as a community. We meet the other students, Reiki students, my students, the other master's students, and we somehow have lots of activities as a community.
Great. That's wonderful. So you're doing sound therapy also, did you say?
Yeah. With the voice and singing bowls and gongs and different instruments.
Uh-huh. And you do that also in the Reiki center?
Yeah. I found that it's a very nice complement of my practice, really.
Uh-huh.
I do meditation or hold meditation meetings also with sound. Mm-hmm. I found that they just flow together naturally.
Uh-huh. Great.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, in my, I don't know if you can relate to this, but in my feeling of Reiki coming to different countries, I feel that like Reiki fulfills a part of ourselves, I feel that Reiki also has the same effect on a culture. And I'm wondering in your life if you can see this reflection of what Reiki has brought to your culture that needed healing.
Mm-hmm. That's a wide question. One of the points I would say is that our culture is too much self-centered or individualistic, in the sense that you give yourself a lot of importance, perhaps.
Uh-huh.
You feel that your world, your needs, your problems are so big and important. We are very focused on the physical world as well.
Right.
It's a part of the Western culture, I think. And so, I think that, Reiki, is giving a lot of people the possibility of, letting go of concepts ideas or states of being, states of feeling that have to do with this, with this self-centeredness and feeling the world around you, the world goes only around you, and started to open their heart and their soul and their whole self to what is beyond that, beyond the physical world, beyond their physical needs, and disclosing somehow other dimensions, or showing them that there are other things that transcend their beliefs. And this makes a whole of a difference when you place yourself in reality in general. This is one of the things that I have seen. And the other thing is that I have seen in many people's processes is that they begin to accept and how should I put it? To be open to other ways of accepting their own reality. Sometimes they get like they stick to a course of the way things have to be, and they find it difficult to accept that perhaps what is going on at that time is some kind of learning or something they have to go through that will bring about very rich learning to their mm-hmm. life. So the possibility of opening to that, I think, has changed a lot the quality of life, I would say. It gives you a different perspective of your own reality and I don't know if I've been clear enough.
Well, I think so. I think that this is, as you said, a kind of Western culture thing mm-hmm. where, you know, the importance of the individual is very, is like a high priority, and the relevance to a group is secondary. And mm-hmm. I feel that one of the things that is coming about in Reiki is that, you know, we're starting to learn how to create ways for a community to be of importance also. Mm-hmm. Because for me, community is the context in which we live. And without that, it doesn't matter on some level who we are as an individual. It doesn't really work without a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. I think that there's a big teaching that all of us as members of this community, Reiki Integridad, or Integrity, it's a big challenge that we have to face every day, how to hold this group being joined or bound together by this practice, but accepting each other's differences, which are sometimes really wide, really enormous.
Yes.
Doing this, well, every day in every activity, in our daily contact, because we are a group, a big group, lots of women who work together, and have to share a task. And well, how we learn to put the objective and the task first and not our individual differences or needs or feelings very often.
Uh-huh.
This, I think, is one of the things that I found just wonderful as a master, when I watch the group from outside, and I see how it develops every day, how it has been growing and how it's still growing because it's really dynamic. And you see the process that takes place in every individual, when you're able to accept and to go beyond your individual needs and understand the energy of the community and the needs of the community, and the result is amazing. Some people, of course, come and go, but they always know that there's a space, there's a place for them to live this sense of community, that it will be there for them to take advantage of it, use it.
Wow, that's impressive. So do you have different strategies to work out, like conflict resolution and so on, during these things? Or do you let Reiki lead you and guide you?
Of course.
Or both?
We always trust Reiki to guide us. We listen to our heart. Miguel and myself work together. We are very close in the way we tackle these things, and we talk things over a lot. We feel them, in our hearts. And we always try to make things very clear, very open. We try to get people together to listen to them, give them the opportunity to show what's going on, not let things grow when there's a conflict. We try not to let it grow, but rather tackle it when we feel it, and we make it clear that conflicts are okay, that it's part of our growing and learning, that we just have to listen to each other with respect, accept, sometimes agree, and sometimes agree to disagree. And always support, I mean, or find as our biggest support our practice. I think that this is the key to success in this case, that all of us have this clear. We have a clear practice, strong, and we know that we can resort to this, and this can guide us in whatever process is manifesting itself at the moment. And we've been through many different instances in all these years, 13 years, but when we look back with Miguel, we see how much we have grown, really. And that the bases are really solid for a community to work from their best place and to give their best.
Right. Do you have an example, like a story that you can tell me about this? Like a theme where you started out having a difference of opinion and then worked it through Well, because I think that it's wonderful to hear. I think you've done mm-hmm. a fabulous job, obviously, mm-hmm. because your community is still going after 13 years. That says mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering for myself and for listeners, you know, what are some of the things that you've tackled?
Mm-hmm. This may be something general, but it's something that is characteristic of our community, that very often people feel that maybe they have been working very hard here, giving their time, their energy, being very constant in their practice or the activities that take place here. And suddenly, they feel, I don't know, if they get angry for some reason, fed up, or something that it is their own process. At that point, takes them away from uh-huh. here. Sometimes they feel really upset, angry.
Uh-huh.
So what we have done is that we just let them go, but naturally, there must be something in the way we let things go, because they don't feel that they are like expelled or I don't know, rejected because they have got angry or because they need now a different stage in their life. Maybe that this part of their path has other characteristics, and they don't want to be an active member of the community. So I think that this being careful about how we respect their process, how we respect their feelings, what they are feeling at that time, knowing that everything is dynamic and it's part of a growth, a process in which we are growing or learning something, and we have to go through perhaps the anger or whatever emotion they are going through. And the thing is that most of them, they go through their own process. They let things cool, or well, they let things go down or to take the place they need, and they come back. And when they come back, they know that they will be accepted by the community with love, open arms,
right.
That we, without questions, that we understand that they needed to go through that, that process, and that they are still loved and respected, no matter what grew them, what drew them apart from
right. Well, that's amazing, because often what I found in some communities is that when there is a difference of opinion, or for instance, in this case, maybe, I mean, this is just a theory. Maybe they feel after so many years of being a part of the community, they want recognition,
mm-hmm.
or they want to somehow be an important, you know, have an important place in the community. Like, you know, everybody wants to be recognized, but sometimes it means being acknowledged as a special Reiki person or something like that. And I think that there is a tendency for people to do what I call running away. Like, okay, let's see. If you don't appreciate me, then I'm going to take who I am and go away and start my own thing. So I feel that if they really do come back, that there's something very special that you're doing, because I don't find the coming back so prevalent in a lot of Reiki communities.
Mm-hmm. So?
I don't find that so common in a lot of
Reiki communities. Yeah. Mm-hmm. well, it has happened here, but many times we have quite a lot of examples. And when they come back, they are aware of that, and they appreciate that, and we comment on this really, and they say, well, I don't know, but it's really, I mean, they feel thankful for the fact that they know that they will be able to come back and be accepted and become a member again. Because, well, I think that, if we are aware, if we accept that every human being needs to go through a process, to do his path, his learning in uh-huh. different ways, well, why not accept naturally, accept them naturally when they need to be back for some reason.
Uh-huh. Cool. That's neat.
And what you mentioned is totally true. This question of sometimes needing recognition and feeling perhaps hurt because you don't get the right recognition. Well, it's part of I don't know, the process of learning as a human being and
yeah,
letting go.
Yeah, so it feels like it's something that we all go through, and it's really interesting because, you know, in my grandmother's classes, people would kind of talk about themselves as healers, and she would say, no, it's Reiki. And so in that, it's like a kind of built-in lesson about recognition, which is very, very difficult to really integrate into one's life, I find. And, you know, I run across it myself, and then I have to say, well, but, you know, this wasn't me. This was Reiki that did this. And that's often a tough one, but it's a very good lesson. And I think tackling it in a community is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that I think that is very useful for us is that we have many opportunities and instances to share activities together, to share, well, I wouldn't say activities, but meetings or being together and doing some kinds of personal work. This is so much helpful, really, so much helpful, because when you come together as a group you start to feel that something moves somehow inside yourself, and this movement touches the other member of the community, which in turn touches the other,
right.
And suddenly you are all like building up the same network. You get this feeling of a very strong network in which we are all bound together, and what happens in one member somehow reflects on the other and affects the other.
Right.
And we have lots of opportunities to go through this experience.
That's fabulous.
That's very rich.
Yes, wonderful. Another interesting theme that I have that I wonder if it's present in your community starts with this question that I often get in big groups of Reiki students, and that is, you know, people look around and they see, like, say, 90% women or 70% women, and it's very unusual to have 50-50 in any group of men and women. And so the question always comes, why are there so many women in Reiki? And you touched on this a little bit, that there are always lots of women. And and so,
it's an issue.
Yeah. And so what's interesting for me is that in the Latin countries and in the Eastern European countries, in the beginning, it's always the men. It's mostly men that come to Reiki. Mm-hmm. And then as Reiki starts spreading and growing, the women start to outnumber the men until, you know, in about 10 years, those men have sort of become the minority rather than the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And I have watched this, and whereas in the United States, it's, you know, and in the Western European countries, mostly it's women
mm-hmm.
who come. And so I read this book called Lean In, written by the CEO of Facebook. And let me just get her name here, because I'm always...
Lean In is the name of the book.
Lean In. And her name is Sheryl Sandberg, S-A-N-D-B-E-R-G.
S-A-N-D-V?
B as in boy.
Yes. B-E?
R-G.
R-G. Okay. Yeah. Sandberg.
Sandberg. And basically, she writes about her experience in being an executive in all these internet companies in the last, like, say, 20 years, which is a very different milieu than what I had when I was growing up, right? Because I'm 65, and I can remember, for instance, getting on airplanes in the early 1980s and having, like in the United States, having 75% of all the people on the airplane being men.
Mm-hmm.
And in Europe, it was more like 85 or 90%. I mean, and the women who were getting on the airplane were dressed in suits, you know, high heels, beautiful hair, not me, you know. I was this like kind of hippie person. And really, it sometimes wasn't really comfortable, but I had to get over it. But the point that she made in her book, which I really appreciated, was that, you know, in this day and age, women are seeking a way to develop themselves and a way to be authentically who they are without having to be like a man in business. You know, they want to be themselves in business and to be able to put themselves forward as women, not as women who are as good as men, mm-hmm. right? So the question that I came to, instead of how come there are so many women in Reiki, the question I came to was, what does Reiki give women?
Mm-hmm.
And I just plant this as a little seed for your community, but also wondering if this connects with you in the relationship between all these women, because, you know, there's this kind of stereotype where women are, you know, they don't really get close to each other because they're, especially if they're in a group, because they want to be actually the top woman, but they don't want anybody else to know that. And there's all this kind of, political power play that goes on, or who gets to be close to mm-hmm. Miguel and mm-hmm. so on. So I don't know if you've experienced this. I'm just being totally out there, right?
You have the crystal ball.
What?
You touched, one of our topics.
Yeah, and so what I believe is that, there's something about Reiki that allows us to naturally develop our unique understanding of our own worth and our own power so that we are able to take our place as individuals. Not mm-hmm. as women as good as men, or mm-hmm. not as women obviously superior to men, but mm-hmm. leaving the men part off, because we don't need to be tied to their standards. We can create our own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this piece is really important, not only for our society that we live in worldwide, but also for communities like the one that you and Miguel are growing. And yes. I'm interested to see if this connects at all with you.
Yeah, sure. I was thinking all the time while I listened to you. I hadn't thought about it from that point of view, but it's really interesting. In our community, most members are women, as you guessed right. correctly. In our practice, we see all the time that that women outnumber men.
Right.
I think that, there may be two aspects. On one hand, it is, finding your, somehow your, empowering yourself, finding all your potential fully inside uh-huh. you. Mm-hmm. Reiki touches you and connects you with that source of potential.
Mm-hmm.
Which sometimes it was in the darkness. And so it is like, I very often say, well, it's like having a flashlight suddenly giving light to lots of inside resources and spaces inside you that you never guessed that were going to be there.
Right.
But they are. And when.
Right.
This is like a revelation. Discovering this fully potential in yourself. And Reiki gives you this possibility and places you in a completely different role, as a woman and as a human being. But well, we know that women had to go through a long story in order to be accepted in lots of things. So it's especially, sensitive, no? that point for women. But well, on one side it's this, that, you recover your self-esteem, your full potential, your empower yourself, feeling, how would I say it, whole again.
Right.
In a way. And on the other hand, I think that, women also get to Reiki very easily because women are always willing and they need to help other people and to open their arms to other people and comfort and lovingly and all that. And they feel that they get this possibility also of giving other people the possibility of feeling better, of being good, changing their situation, and this also is very satisfying or yes, fulfilling for them. The women have a very holistic and opened mind, and perhaps the intellect does not interfere so much when you make a choice, when you give a step in your life.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
They are more open to take perhaps non-conventional paths.
Right.
Men are very careful and rigid, no? And that's why it very often takes more time. But I have seen that this is not so in young people. The youngest people, there isn't so much a difference in boys and girls or men and women who get to Reiki. Probably there's some change, no? In the way society is growing, which makes these differences weaker in a way as time goes by. I have noticed that in the community, that more young people, more young men or boys are easily accepting and looking for Reiki.
Yes, I believe that. In fact, you know, just, it seems like just the advent of internet communities, have really helped to break down the stereotypes that my generation, which is, you know, a couple of generations now ago, really held in place. And I feel like that, those melting of those stereotypes is going to really benefit having a global community.
Mm-hmm.
And that Reiki really somehow supports that. Not just between genders, but also what I've seen is that, especially because I've spent a lot of time in Europe, especially in between the different countries, and how they have seen each other kind of as stereotypical Germans or Dutch or Spanish, and they're starting to melt those stereotypes so they can be seen as individuals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Really beautiful.
Mm. Sure, sure. I think we are getting to that, that we are growing into a new concept, and yeah, we are getting to recognizing the human being simply as a human being,
right.
and letting go of the external things like stereotypes.
Right. Well, I feel that community is a huge, you know, communities like yours are a wonderful way for people to work this out within a very safe environment, because mm-hmm. Reiki binds you together in a way that allows you breathing space, like your people going out and then coming back in and then maybe going out again and coming back in. This is a natural process of osmosis, and it's great. I'm really inspired by your stories of community.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Mm. So as a community member, our hour is over actually, but I'm just wondering, as a community member, can you just talk about your own experience and how it is to be a member of a Reiki community?
Mm-hmm. I think that my path with Reiki, my Reiki practice has been very much enriched, you say, or
yeah, enriched.
It has grown a lot thanks to the community. This is a process I had to go through, because I used to be a very lonely human being. I mean, I like to be alone, to do my process with myself. And it was, this came out as a big learning. This learning to be part of the community, to have a responsibility in this community, to commit.
Right.
And I can say after all these years that, it has been an enormous instance of learning for me.
Uh-huh.
It has taught me to not to be afraid of differences, but on the other hand, just the opposite, to welcome them. This, of course, this process is very much connected to what Reiki opened in me. I can't separate this. This is a Reiki community.
Uh-huh,
and
right.
It has the characteristics of a Reiki community, unique. I have learned to welcome differences as part of a new learning, of something, a new movement.
Right.
I have learned to the power of moving energy together.
Ah.
Right. Really, the moments when we come together as a Reiki community and practice together, do some kind of practice, no? Is very, very powerful. It's powerful, the time that is being disclosed all through the activity itself. How the energy goes around and somehow embraces you and goes inside, outside and touches everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's powerful, also in what comes later. Because it's like the vibration goes on inside each of you. And it's like, it starts like, getting into, layers. Somehow, it becomes part of your energetic field, somehow. So it's what you have lived within that community, in that experience that you share together, starts getting into your energy field somehow, and it shapes lots of things, no, inside you. So from the energetic point of view, it's very powerful. to be able to do the practice in a community. From the point of view of your personal process, it's also very rich to be able to have people who are next to you, close to you, who watch you, who can guide you, to have your masters near you, to be in contact, in close contact, to have your peers next to you, to give a loving hand whenever you need it. It's really makes your path through whatever you have to learn and go through a very soothing. The other thing that I have learned in this community is how powerful Reiki can be in holding people together and in helping to dissolve the ego differences. When you really commit to a practice, to your work, your daily work with Reiki, you start having this awareness, or you become aware that how powerful Reiki can be in this thing of helping us to be one with another.
Right. Right. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your deep and intentional sharing. That was great.
Oh, my pleasure. Really. I can't believe I can be telling this to you. Really.
Well.
Because you have so much. This is something important. I would like you to know that you have a lot to do with what's going on here. You are a constant inspiration, a reference all the time. Your energy is present all the time. Not only your portrait, but also your presence, your energy, your strength. And this is a constant guidance. And we know, both Miguel and me, we know that it is a constant strength in our community.
Mm. Well, thank you very much. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.